Little Bobby Zimmerman, a.k.a. Bob Dylan. Everybody must get stoned on your radio friend. This is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, Glenn Klein, and he is the Speaker of the House of Representatives, the representative of the mighty 1st Congressional District here in Wisconsin. Please welcome back to WRJN's Community Conversation, Speaker Paul Ryan. Mr. Speaker!
Hey, I think it's the first time I've heard Bob Dylan on WRJN.
We don't listen enough.
Yeah, I guess not.
So, sorry.
How are you doing, Glenn?
I am doing wonderfully. Thank you for caring enough to ask. How do you get that job to announce Mr. Speaker like that? Who does that?
It's the Sergeant of Arms and a guy named Paul Irving. He ran the President's Security Detail for the Secret Service for a number of years. So he's a retired former senior high-ranking Secret Service officer, and he is in charge of all security at the Capitol and the security police force. So it's a very big job, which that is one of the, I guess, the smaller responsibilities that comes with his job, but he is the guy who does that, the Sergeant of Arms.
I was going to say I could do that job, but not with all that other responsibility.
Yeah, not with all that other responsibilities, no. That's right.
But I would like to paint a picture for you, a scenario, if you will. Let us say that, for the sake of the discussion, for the scenario, that Governor Gary Johnson, the Libertarian candidate, gets the 15%, and he gets in the debates. And we're finding that the former governor of New Mexico is taking more votes now from Hillary Rodham Clinton than he is from Donald J. Trump. And it forces the election, because neither major party candidate gets the 270 votes for the Electoral College, it forces it into your chamber, to the House of Representatives. Are you ready to change titles?
No, it doesn't work like that. You have to pick from the top three vote-getters. So it would have to be a choice between this. I mean, look, I haven't really looked too deep into this because I'm not planning on having to do this, but my understanding of it is you have to select from Clinton, Johnson, or Trump. You can't just pick a person out of the blue. That's point number one. Point number two, what it is each state has to vote as one. And so the delegation of the state. So let's just take Wisconsin, for example. You've got 8 House members. 5 of us are Republicans. So you would think that the 5 of us Republicans would outvote the 3 Democrats to provide our one vote for Wisconsin for the Republican. And, you know, on and on it goes throughout all the states. And you have to select from the top 3 vote-getters. This actually happened, with one of the Adams, I believe.
John Quincy Adams.
Yeah, John Quincy Adams. That's right. So you can't just pick, you know, George Bush or, you know, anybody. You can't just pick a person out of the blue. It's got to be a person who actually got electoral votes. So you'd pick among those 3. That's how that happens.
Well, he's acting as a professor for us this morning. He's a Speaker Paul Ryan. This is Glenn Klein on WRJN. We're learning all kinds of things about the Sergeant-at-Arms, about the process of what happens if the election gets thrown into the House of Representatives. Whoever becomes president in November and takes office in January is going to be left holding a lot of stuff. Not to mention, at the top of the list, in my opinion, is our relationship with Iran. And regardless if it's Hillary or Donald J. Trump, they're going to have to take over for this negotiated nuclear arms deal. And now, of course, recently we've learned that the Obama administration paid a $400 million ransom to get our hostages out. How do you continue dealing with a regime like Iran, who's now 8 years been dealing with somebody who an administration that I think has been characterized as an amateur hour operation?
I think it's an excellent question. So let's just stick with that part of the foreign policy. The last thing you want to be the lasting impression of America is that we will pay cash for hostages, because all you're doing is you're encouraging more hostage taking. This has been long-standing American policy, and when we now have learned that they actually paid this cash, And they didn't let the pallet of money go off on the airplane until they knew that the hostages were wheels up, meaning in the air, leaving Tehran. Combine that with the fact that John Kerry's basically going around the world acting like the Tehran Chamber of Commerce president, not Secretary of State, trying to get other countries to do business with Iran. This means that they're going beyond the Iranian deal. They are this is more than appeasement. This is more than accommodating what I think was a really bad agreement. They're bending over backwards to accommodate Iran. Let's just remember who they are. They are the world's number one sponsor of terrorism. They finance terrorism all across the world. This is the country that created the really lethal IEDs against our soldiers in Iraq. We had these IEDs, they call them EFPs, explosively formed projectiles, that were machined and precision made in Iran and then brought by Iranian Quds forces into Iraq and then used against our soldiers. It went through tanks. It went through MRAPs, these things. This is the kind of country we're dealing with, and this is the kind of country that we just gave, our government just gave $400 million in cash to, and our country just signed a deal, which I think legitimizes them as a nuclear power, even if they stick to the deal and don't cheat, which we have no reason to believe that they would not cheat. We're basically telling Iran that you can become a nuclear power in the near future. I think it was a colossal mistake. More importantly, it just shows that our allies, they're nervous about whether they can trust us or not, or whether we're going to stand up for our national security interests or not. And so the question, I'm giving you a long answer here, but the question is, how much toothpaste can we put back in this tube? How much can we rebuttress the standing of American foreign policy, which is you don't take our people hostage, and we are not going to appease those who finance terrorists, and we're not going to do something that we think will accelerate the proliferation of weapons of mass destruction into the hands of terrorist regimes. How do we put that toothpaste back in the tube? That is going to be the big question we're all going to be trying to answer come January.
Well, we've seen, as history often will, we've seen history repeat itself, because obviously when Ronald Reagan took over for Jimmy Carter, we had a similar foreign policy disaster looming, ironically, again, involving Iran. Now, Ronald Reagan came in and was credible to the point where the Iranians released the hostages upon his inauguration. But with the two major political or presidential candidates that we have, we don't have anybody credible following President Barack Obama.
Yeah, and combine that with the fact that the real challenge in Ronald Reagan's day was the Soviet Union, which we had a policy that ultimately worked called mutually assured destruction. The Soviets weren't jihadists. The Soviets, they wanted to live too, and so that's why the buildup and the standoff through mutually assured destruction ultimately worked to our advantage. That's not the way the mullahs think. This is not the way terrorists operate. They're more than happy to sacrifice themselves in fulfillment of their objectives. And so it's what we call an asymmetric threat. And so it's even more challenging, I would argue, in this day and age with terrorism. Not only that, but terrorism backed by a nation state. That is a real challenge that is unlike what Ronald Reagan faced, that we now face. And so, yes, this is one of the reasons why we're fighting to bolster our military and to give our military the tools they need, the equipment, the pay raise, and all the rest. That's why we're having a fight with the Obama administration on that just to this day, because we really believe that these challenges are growing and getting worse, not better, and we have to come in with a new administration that is going to take this threat as seriously as it really is and give our men and women in the military and also our diplomats the backbone and the material they need to do their jobs.
He's Speaker Paul Ryan. This is Glenn Klein on WRJ. And President Obama said we had to give him the $400 million in cash because we didn't have a business relationship with Iran. But then after he said that, we found out that actually we had transferred billions of dollars into their account.
That's
how,
right.
How in his last remaining months, do you deal with him as an honest interlocutor when you're trying to do things for the government when he is just willing to just flat out lie like this?
Yeah, so I remember the phone call in January. I was in Baltimore at a Republican retreat developing our Better Way agenda. And I heard about the hostages coming home, and the details were very sketchy. And at first it looked like to me, it looked like ransom. It smelled like ransom. There was smoke, basically. But we didn't have any fire. And so we said at the time, this looks like it's almost a ransom situation. Only until a month ago did we actually get all the facts and the details and the figures. that they actually put $400 million of cash on a pallet on a plane and sent it timed exactly with the transfer of these hostages. Have we now just found out that this indeed was what they then said it was not? At the time, they said, no, there's no ransom here, you know, kind of a coincidence. They're bringing our troops home. We're just, you know, releasing funds as part of the Iranian nuclear deal that's Iran's money in the first place. They downplayed it, said it wasn't ransom. Now we have actually seen that there was an actual cash exchange for these hostages. So that was dishonest. That was misleading. No two ways about it. But here's the point, Glenn. We're finding out not just this $400 million payment, but we're finding out more and more details about this Iran deal that is so far from what the administration claimed it was at the time they pitched and sold this deal. Now, many of us didn't buy it and voted against it, including myself. But I think a lot of Democrats who supported this deal, based upon the assurances and the promises that were made at the time, are now finding themselves to be duped. And so my hope and goal is that those Democrats who now believe that this was a mistake, that believe that they were essentially misled into voting for this deal, will help us, like I said, put that toothpaste back in the tube in the next administration. That is my goal and that is my hope.
But it's very possible that you're going to get what William Safire called a congenital liar is the next president of the United States and Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, I'm worried about that as well.
How do you, in good conscience, are able to negotiate with somebody like that?
Welcome to our world, Glenn. that's the last person I want to see become president is Hillary Rodham Clinton. I think she has real trust issues, real credibility issues. I think just the corruption surrounding Clinton, the campaign, what she said she did with respect to her emails and her devices and the server and all the rest, versus now the facts that we know them as released on a Friday data dump. What's going on with the FBI?
Are they like an arm of the Clinton campaign? They do the data dump on Friday of Labor Day weekend?
I know, of Labor Day weekend. It's like the most buried time you could ever put out stories. So I'm surprised. I mean, I can't believe that they would do what is such a patently political move. It makes them look like political operators versus law enforcement officers. So the fact that they chose the Friday before Labor Day to put all this out there, it mystifies me as to why they thought that was a smart thing to do.
I thought FBI Director James Comey was a credible guy.
He is a credible guy who has a credible background. I disagree with his conclusion. I fundamentally do, now that we see this evidence as well. And the question still remaining in front of us is the connection between the actions of the Clinton Foundation and official actions of the State Department. I don't know the answer to those questions, but those questions still loom. But back to your original point, this is not the kind of person I think we want to trust the White House with. We've got big challenges ahead of us as a country. We've got an economy that is not doing what it needs to be doing. It could be doing so much better, but for government. Small businesses could be hiring, but for the regulatory state. We're taxing companies overseas. We have a job training problem that we need to get on top of so we can close the skills gap, get people back to work. We have a poverty industrial complex that is trapping people in poverty. And we have a military that is really strapped. And we're not giving the men and women who are serving us the help and the support and the equipment and the spare parts they need to safely do their jobs. And we now have a Pentagon trying to play politics with it all. So, you know, I don't want to go from the frying pan into the fire from the Obama administration to the Clinton administration. I'm sure hoping we can prevent that from happening.
You okay? I don't want you to have a coughing fit like the Democratic presidential nominee just had.
Yeah, a little verklempt.
All right. Well, I know you got a busy day. We really appreciate your time. Now, listen, if you're willing to split the responsibilities of the sergeant at arms just to announce Mr. Speaker and then somebody else can do everything else, If it doesn't work out for me here at Magnum.media, please do keep me in mind.
You got the voice for it, that's for sure.
Thank you very much. Safe travels.
All right, take it easy. Talk to you.
There he goes, Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan on WRJN. We are going to have the Speaker of the Wisconsin State Assembly, Robin Voss. It's a big Speaker's Day. Speakers back-to-back, stereo, if you will. After the great Tom Carco's news next on your radio friend.
Real Racine looks forward to seeing you at Racine's biggest street festival.